Distilled is a production of Chemical Processing. Chemical Processing focuses on serving engineers, designing, and operating plants in the chemical industry.
Welcome to Chemical Processing's Distilled podcast series. This podcast and its transcript can be found at chemicalprocessing.com. I'm Tracy Purdom, Editor-in-Chief of Chemical Processing, and joining me is Dave Strobar, Founder and Principal Human Factors Engineer for Bevel Engineering. Dave is also the founder of the Center for Operator Performance. Hey, Dave, welcome to 2024.
Thanks, Tracy. It's a new year. Everything starts from scratch.
Yes. That's a nice blank slate for us. And for today's topic, we're gearing up for the new year, and we're going to talk about how to make operator training faster. So my question to you is, operator training has been going on since the start of industry. Shouldn't we have achieved maximum efficiency by now?
Well, you would think so. And because everybody does it. And the problem is very few companies, no company that I know of, really tracks whether the training they're giving is doing the desired function, creating the operators with the skills and knowledge that they want. They simply provide training and hope that when it's all said and done, the operators have it. And so without that feedback, you can't tell whether, you know, are we spending too much time on training, not enough time on training? Is it even, you know, what works, what doesn't work? And as a result, if you look at the training programs across the industry, they vary wild, you know, a huge variance in how the training is done and the time that it takes to do that. So the, you know, to, the efficiency requires that you actually understand what you're getting for your cost. I'm putting these resources into it, but they really don't know, you know, is it doing its job? And I've talked to a number of people in operations who would say it's not. And, you know, they're not happy with the operators that are being turned out. So despite the fact the amount of money that's spent on it every year, and it's been going on for, you know, decades, it is really an area that is fraught with inefficiencies.
So how do you monitor to see if training is effective? Is there a way to even do so?
Well, and that's something that is becoming easier with new technology that is available. Previously, it would be doing some assessments of individuals on the job and trying to understand, do they have the requisite skills and knowledge, be a much more subjective capability. But now we have simulators, we have virtual reality in which we can provide the training and you can actually see and measure the performance of the individuals and judge, did the training do its job? So in training, there are really four key phases of training. There's the instruction, you know, sort of a classroom. Somebody's going to tell you, this is what I want you to do. There's second is demonstration. Here's how you do it. The third is practice. That is what is woefully lacking in the industry. And then the fourth is feedback. You know, how did you do? Well, now with simulators for console operators and virtual reality for field operators, that that third part, the practice and feedback, can be done, and you can close the loop and find out, did the training work? So, you know, if I'm training a console operator to respond to some sort of upset on the unit, well, I can say, you know, I want you to stabilize the unit in response to a, you know, momentary power loss or something like that. I want you to stabilize the unit within 20 minutes. Well, you can put them in a simulator and you can have them do it and, you know, start the clock. And were they able to do it? And if they weren't, you know, where did they have difficulty? Where were the problems? So with the new technology, you can do that that practice and feedback and see, did the training accomplish what it is that I wanted to do? And you can make it objective rather than subjective. So rather than, yeah, I, you know, I think that person, you know, knows what they're doing, you can actually look at it and measure it against some objective standard and say, yes, this person knows this, or this person has this skill, in order to make that happen. So some real opportunities industry-wide to actually start making training efficient and more standardized across the industry.
What happens if you discern that someone is not trained properly? And my brother-in-law is a pilot, and he has to go through training. And if he doesn't pass that training, he can no longer fly until he passes. Is that a similar situation here, or do they just retrain them and retrain them, or what happens?
Well, what should happen is something similar, which is essentially you would take them off of, the position they're in and send them through training and, until they've demonstrated it. And then, say, okay, you've fixed that deficiency and put them back in the job. There's one company that I do know of where they went with a more advanced look at training, and they found that they had an operator that did not have an understanding of the system that he was controlling. And they were quite shocked and surprised about that, because everybody thought, well, this person, he was really knows it well. What was confounding it is the person was very verbal, and they were they liked to talk a lot. They would express themselves. And so they thought this person knew how this system functioned. They put them through an objective training program, and he failed. And they said, wow, we cannot allow this person to operate the console. And so they disqualified him from being a board operator and sent him out back to being a field operator. Interesting, in contrast, there's an operator that they thought was going to struggle. This individual far exceeded expectations on their understanding of the system. But they weren't as verbal. He was just a quiet person, and they were confusing, how verbal the individual was with the knowledge they contained. And they found that the very verbal person that they thought was really smart wasn't as smart as they thought. And they found that the quiet person that they had suspicions about, they knew it, like the back of their hand. So, as the example you said with the pilots, if you don't demonstrate the skill, you can put them back in training, assuming you think that they can actually gain the skill until they acquire it, and then let them go back to their normal job. And in the initial training, where you're the very first training that you do, there's usually a prescribed time for that. In other words, if I go, I'm hired as an operator, and I go through the initial training program, and if at the end of that they said, well, you're just not, you didn't pass the tests or whatever, then they give them a certain period of time to try to catch up and fill the gaps, and then they can, retake the test, and hopefully so they get one shot at it like that before they would say, oh, you just can't make it. But that's for a new hire. If you've got an existing operator, hopefully they could do some of the jobs well. Or again, this is the whole problem with the training program. How did this person qualify on the unit, out of their training, and then we find out later that they really don't have the skill and knowledge that is needed?
They're good at talking the talk, but not walking the walk. And I know there's a joke in there somewhere for politicians on both sides, right?
Yeah. But it and that's the problem with subjective testing, is you personality factors come into play. Well, I like this person, or they're a good person to have on the crew because they're funny. Well, okay. But they don't know how to start up a pump. You need to have that objective measure in there to take those personalities on both sides of both the trainee and the trainer evaluator, so that you say, yes, this person has the skill and knowledge that I need them to have for this particular job.
You brought up console and field operators. Are the opportunities the same for them?
Well, the console, probably there's greater opportunities, simply because you're measuring the process and that they're controlling. And so you can more easily see that, you know, do they have the skills that are necessary either through the simulator, or they'll go through enough events that you could look at their, you know, their performance during, you know, download the data from the process and see, you know, what you know, how they performed on that. So the console certainly is easier. The field is more difficult because the tasks are a little more, not subjective, but they a lot more leeway in how they're performed and what they're done. But that's where, again, I think virtual reality has the opportunity, or, you know, taking people out in the field. There's ways to do it. It's a little bit harder, but it's not that it can't be done. So I've been with operators, and one of the requirements, so we're going through a procedure on an upset, and they have to make some diversions of the product. I have to send the product to off spec because the unit's crashed, and they'll come up to this valve manifold where, you know, there may be a dozen valves, you know, at the plot edge of the unit, and they have to manipulate them to change the lineup. And I'll see them stare at it for a while and struggle while they're trying to figure out, okay, how do I do that? And, you know, which one am I supposed to turn? Which one am I supposed to open? Which one am I supposed to close? You know, you can do that out in the unit with the operator. So if lining up to off spec you define as a critical task, you know, you don't need virtual reality for that. You simply can go out and say, okay, hey, I want you to, you know, show me what you would do. We're going to walk it through to line up to off spec. You know, well, I'm going to close that valve. I'm going to open this one. I'm going to close this one. Open, you know, and so on. And you can see, were they able to do it and how quickly they were able to do it. So given that you're probably testing them on a nice day, when they may need to do this in freezing rain at 4 a.m., you can say, yeah, this person has this down or they don't. Hopefully during that particular exercise, as I've gone through it, somebody would say, hey, we really should label these valves, rather than having the operator have to do it from memory. You know, they have to deal with what they're given. And oftentimes what they're given is, you know, unlabeled valves that they just have to kind of say, okay, I think I do this one and this one and this one. And then hopefully they do it correctly. So, field operators a little bit harder. It can still be done. Console operators, again, you either have simulator or you can look at the process data. The Center for Operator Performance, we talked about, you know, getting that and, you know, can we tell the difference between the operators based on the process data? So, you know, you go to any supervisory person in a control room, and you could ask them to rank order for me the quality of your operators. Who's your best? Who's your weakest? And you know, they have it in their mind who that is and who those people are, and you can get that list. And then the idea was, well, let's look at some different events they've gone through, and you know, do we see a difference in that individuals? And that particular project didn't go anywhere because there was a real fear that if we did that, then whoever was the weakest would lose their job. And what was designed to be a tool to improve training, you know, who needs training could be wielded as a machete to just say, well, we're just going to get rid of the weakest people. But I think that is an opportunity that, you know, companies can have to just assess, you know, do they know that if they, you know, use these tools correctly to look back and say, you know, this person's trying, they just weren't taught what they needed to do, or they don't have enough practice doing what they need to do, and modify their training accordingly.
Now, what about operators that have to learn multiple units? There's got to be challenges there, you know, so dangers of getting confused or just having to learn too much.
Well, and that's where one of the real inefficiencies in training comes about, is they treat learning a new unit as though you just came off the street, even though I may already know a unit very similar to that. And so they don't take advantage, typically, of that sort of common knowledge that an operator would possess. You know, if I, you know, I go in and I've already learned a unit that has a fired heater on it, and I'm going to learn a new unit that also has a fired heater, I don't have to start from scratch. And it's not going to take me as long because, you know, I already have some of the basics. I just need to learn what's different about this new unit. Too many of the training programs, they have sort of this one size fits all, and the one size is for somebody that, is coming off the street. So where they're trying to learn multiple units, you really need to break it down into what's the basic principles, you know, what are the common elements, of the major pieces of equipment, and then, okay, for this particular unit, is there anything special or unique that the individual needs to know? And that can dramatically reduce the training time associated with it, because you've taken, you know, if I know one particular plant, you know, an operator is having to learn four different units, and, you know, it was taking, you know, 9 months on each unit, because they were going through a lot of the same material. Well, by the time they got to the fourth unit, they'd likely forgotten a lot from the first unit because it's been so long since they were there. So there's an advantage in terms of the operator trying to learn this, where it's like, well, just learn, you know, once you understand the basics, now all we need to do is teach you what's unique and different. Training time's reduced. The operators are getting more familiarity because they're qualifying sooner and can apply their skills and knowledge and keep them up. And so the overall efficiency is greatly improved by breaking it down into, okay, we're going to teach you basic information, and then for each of these units you have to learn, what's different about them and what do you need to know?
Dave, is there anything you want to add that we didn't touch on?
So I will share a story that the Center for Operator Performance, we've been developing an objective test on distillation. And the idea is we're going to give this same test across multiple companies and multiple sites within those companies to see, you know, how they vary or do they vary. So it's a multiple choice, 50 question test. And it has been a major effort to get that, you know, through, just because of different views as to what's important and how the question should be written. So I appreciate the training departments that have difficulty creating these sort of objective tests. You would think it would be very easy, but we've discovered it's been very difficult or time consuming to create this test. But hopefully with this test, you know, we can assess, each company can assess, they can assess crews, you know, does A crew know distillation better than, you know, D crew, and we need to provide more training? Or, you know, is refinery A, their operators all scored significantly higher than refinery B? Well, what's the training program at A? Why, you know, why do they know this better? Can we learn something from that? So we're in the process. The test is about ready to be sent out administered, and hopefully we'll have the results back, and I can share with you those results sometime in the future.
That sounds like a great podcast in the future for sure. And Dave, you always are proving your expertise in the field and your dedication to continue your own learning journey on operator training. And we appreciate that insight. If you want to stay on top of operator training and performance, subscribe to this free podcast via your favorite podcast platform to learn best practices and keen insight. You can also visit us at chemicalprocessing.com for more tools and resources aimed at helping you achieve success. On behalf of Dave, I'm Tracy, and this is Chemical Processing's Distilled Podcast Operator Training Edition. Thanks for listening. Thanks again, Dave.
Thanks, Tracy.